interviewees for this project started work over the years from the early 1940s through to the 1990s. Their experience reveals the dramatic changes in all areas of their field. Gerald Park, a retired RTA road designer who started work in 1954, and Rob Shipton both recall their first day at work.
Two sat to a desk, and the desks were in feet, were 14 feet long by about 3 feet wide. So you had like a chest of drawers either end and a divider in the middle. On one desk down the end was, which was fellow John Limbury, he had a desk with shelves and a desk of his own. And he had all equipment and machines and a big Perspex box with clockwork, and everybody had were wearing aprons. All the chairs or the seating arrangements were stools. As your seniority went up, it might have a padded top on it, otherwise it wouldn't stool. And then the senior draftsman, his had a back on it, so he was a bit elevated.
I joined the DMR in 1961. And I was 16 years of age, and I had to serve 5 years as an apprentice, or a junior as they called them in those days, which I did. And then at the age of 21 years and 9 months, I then went into the next class. And there were three classes of draftsmen, as it was then. And to get to a senior, you had to go through the whole proving ground, of course, first. So I started as a junior, and I did all the menial tasks, like getting the boss's smokes from the shop over the road, and tending to the rain gauge and keeping meticulous records on this rain gauge that nobody ever looked at anyway. And that was what they did back in those days, taking temperature of road surfaces with thermometers, and doing all the plotting for the much-admired designers, of course, who did the roads. You had to really end up doing your plots without interfering with the surface with a rubber, because when the designers got it and put their grade lines on, they reserved the privilege of being able to rub out their line and put another one on, rub out another one, so that if they got some plot on paper that had been scratched out and rubbed out and interfered with, then it wasn't worth much because it eroded from them a lot of what they regarded as their privilege. And there's all these little politics that you had to learn, you see. I can remember my first day. I walked in there, and I was fortunate that I knew one other fellow. And I said, what do we do? What do we do? And they didn't give me anything. And I just sat there. And I had to learn how to sit there and do nothing for a couple of hours. And this was totally alien to me because I'm a very active sort of a person. So I ended up going and saying to the boss, you got something for me to do? And he said, oh no, he said, you haven't learned how to do anything yet. Anyway, this is our most revered master, you see. And I said, well, give me a go. I'm sure I'd be able to teach myself something. And he said, all right, I'll give you some plotting to do. And he did, and off I went.
All the designer's work was done manually, as Mick Mancone describes.
There'd be as much printing, manual hand printing, you know, like numbers and lettering and notes and that, as there were actual lines. And it was considered an advantage if you had a good hand, yeah, like good penmanship, to the point that they used to, as juniors, we used to have a session every day of practice, you know, almost like copybook type practice. It was awful if you made a mistake in those days, because you can't just delete it like we do now. We had to manually and physically scratch the ink with a razor blade off the plan. That was replaced after some time by these electronic rubbers, which were like a drill, like an electric drill, and they used to have a little rubber that you'd put in the end of it, and that spin around at a great speed. And the only trouble is it left quite a mangled bit of paper behind, so that when you went over it, a lot of the ink would tend to spread a bit.